Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into episode 249 of the Sources Say Podcast, your go-to Kentucky basketball and recruiting podcast on the growing KSR Podcast Network. Sources Say is, as always, presented by our good friends at Justice Dental. Stressed about the big game, or were you stressed about the big game? Take advantage of their special offer for KSR listeners and protect your teeth from clenching and grinding. For a limited time, they are offering 20% off bite guards and discounted therapeutic Dysport injections. Click in the link in our show notes to schedule your free consultation. Offer ends April 4th. I'm your host, Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio. Very happy to be joined once again off the road, unfortunately. We should be in New York City, but unfortunately, here we are sitting in the comfort of our own home. Sean Smith, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I usually say it's fantastic to be here, but it's not fantastic to be where I am at the moment. So I definitely wish I were at Madison Square Garden getting ready for a Sweet 16 matchup tonight, but instead we are having to kind of talk about the direction of the program moving into next season, and I think we're going to be talking a lot about that over the course of the next 50 minutes to an hour, probably.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that we're not. I kind of get the, you know, just kind of that feeling of, oh man, you're seeing the Kansas State players do their pregame press conference, Jerome Tang doing his pregame press conference for leading up to Michigan State and all that. It's like, man, I feel like we should be there right now. We should be asking those questions and listening to the players and all that. But it is what it is. And as you said, unfortunately, it's now time for what's next. We did a show driving home from Greensboro. Stephen Peake, our videographer, we kind of broke things down. But Sean, but before we get into the nuts and bolts of what's next, I do want to get your thoughts just to, you know, give you a platform and a minute to just kind of give your spiel. What went wrong for Kentucky, the highs against Providence, and then obviously the lows against Kansas State to send them home?
Well, you know, on that pregame show, I believe it was Saturday when we recorded there at the arena, I talked a lot about turnovers, and Kentucky obviously lost that category. But granted, they came out, and I think K-State got two more points off turnovers than what Kentucky did in that game. So you can point at maybe some given possessions there Kentucky gave away. It's maybe crazy to say that it's missed shots. Like I hate when you look and you see Antonio Reeves miss 14 shots, because I do think Kentucky got offensive rebounds on like half of those, but didn't score, but maybe on a couple of those opportunities. So I think a lot of it boiled down to Kansas State missed shots for the majority of the game, and Kentucky never really took advantage of that kind of moment and never really seized control of the game, and then lost the lead there before the half and gave up momentum. A lot of the same stuff that we had seen in Kentucky losses over the course of the season, it came down to it. And I don't care how efficient you are offensively, Jack, you get into a grinded out game in an NCAA tournament and the other team starts making shots and goes on a heater the way Kansas State did, you're going home. And that's exactly what happened. They hit three contested threes there down the stretch that Kentucky just could not make. And here's the unfortunate side of it. Kansas State's in New York City tonight, and Kentucky is in Lexington, and that's just what it boils down to. I think it was a game where I didn't criticize John Calipari a lot for it. I think the frustration that came afterwards was more because of the previous 3 years piled on top of this one than it was for anything that happened on Sunday. But Kentucky was good enough to beat K-State, but they just couldn't get the job done down the stretch, and K-State hit the shots that mattered when they mattered most.
Yeah, it's a very unfortunate reality, and you know what bit Kentucky in the butt leading up to this game and throughout the season ended up doing them in to close things out, and it does suck, because I do know for certain that they thought a run was coming. Like they truly believed in themselves, and I think they were comfortable with the South Carolina loss and the Georgia loss, and You know, early season Gonzaga, Michigan State, all the things that the adversities and speed bumps that happened earlier on in the year, they were comfortable with those losses, you know, knowing that that a run was going to happen. Like you could live with that, knowing that they'd be able to go on a run, and then to see them not be able to experience that and to experience that pain in that locker room after the fact, Sean, was. It sucked. It really did suck seeing that just moment of silence from Oscar Tshiebwe, where he didn't want to talk to anybody. He was just kind of to himself, facing his locker, and you know, very clearly emotional. That was a really tough thing to see. And I want to get your thoughts on that. Just what was that like? Your first locker room experience during a postseason, I guess, in a little bit now.
Postseason since the loss to Auburn, because we didn't get the postseason the following year, and then I don't think we had locker room access a year ago, did we? I think it was all podium. I was surprised when I walked in and Oscar wasn't at the podium. I think that's because I guess I thought he was one of those guys that would be up there. I don't remember the way it went down, but I walked in and I was like, man, there's a really big crowd over here, and I saw it was Oscar's locker. And we catch a lot of heat that time of year as media guys for taking photos in the locker room of emotional players. And it's not like we're up in their face and in their space. And none of us were asking Oscar questions when he was turning around. And UK media personnel and stuff was there. And SID, that was kind of that gap, you know what I mean, in that moment. And we gave Oscar the moment to have and kind of gather his emotions and his thoughts. And then he turned around and started talking to us. And just the emotion on his face and kind of the, man, you know, the last 2 years I've done a lot of individual things and I've won a lot of awards and I came back to win number 9 and I had another out of this world performance. Like he had 3 incredible performances in 3 NCAA tournament games and is 1 for 2 to show for. And that's frustrating. That's frustrating for Oscar. It's frustrating for the fans because you had this generational talent, but it was hard. And then you have to go and ask the tough questions. And Antonio Reeves gets asked, did the last one feel any different than the other 14? It just went in. And he just said, nah. And you kind of – it's a shot that when he took it, I almost hated that it went in because you could see the look on his face go, why did that one go and the other ones didn't fall? And then you get Jacob Toppin being asked about his performance, a guy that we had praised the day before. It's just – it's basketball. Things happen. You have off nights. But that's the hardest part of this job is going in that locker room when the season is done and having to ask kids what went wrong. That's hard.
It sucks because that was the one thing we said leading up to that game is, well, you know what you're going to get from Oscar Tshiebwe. You know what you're going to get from Jacob Toppin. You know what you're going to get from Antonio Reeves, and those last two end up being the only two that weren't able to step up in that moment. And it sucks. And you give them the benefit of the doubt because those two in particular had built up so much equity with me personally to close out the regular season and to open postseason play. They were both terrific. I mean, absolutely terrific. Basically the entire back half of the season. So for them to kind of end things the way they did, it sucks. And it does hurt. Like you don't want their careers to end in that fashion, and you don't want to see that pain on their face. But unfortunately, that's just kind of the reality of the situation. And now we get to spend the next 40 minutes or whatever breaking down what each of these kids is doing. And it feels early. I felt like once you got the monkey off your back with the round of 64 win, that like, okay, you get to that second weekend and now the rest is gravy. Like you felt good about it, but you still wanted to just go that one extra day and make the trip to New York City. And if you lose in the Sweet 16 to a very talented, you know, coach, Hall of Fame coach in Tom Izzo and a team that typically wins in NCAA tournament games, if you lose in that one, then it is what it is. You're a Sweet 16 team and it kind of fits with how good this team really was. But now they're, you know, they're round of 32. They won't finish as a top 25 team in America, and the guys we kind of thought they were throughout the year, that's who they ended up being. And it's just, it's tough. It just really is.
It is. It each year gets tougher, especially for a program that's not gone on a run in a long time now. And that's where I'm coming from, that I think a lot of the frustration that I saw on Twitter, it wasn't about Sunday. It was about last year and how it ended. It was about missing the tournament the year before, not getting a postseason run at all 3 seasons ago. Like, that's where the frustration lied. I didn't, and for the most part, I thought people handled it fairly well. Like, I didn't see, like, last year when the loss to St. Peter's and we're coming back and me and you were talking on the phone and we're tweeting and all this and how things have to change and how things have to be different, I didn't feel the same way as I did a year ago. It felt differently. Like, and I don't want to say that it was I accept that this happened, because it's still not acceptable at Kentucky. There was just you lost to a good team. You were in this game because you did absolutely nothing in the non-conference portion of the schedule. That's why you were a 6 playing a 3. It wasn't because of what they did in league play. It was what they did in November, December, and they did nothing in that time frame. That's what put them in that moment against a team that caliber. And then I hated the national narratives. Like, don't give me – and I love Jeff. Like, you know, like, we've talked to Jeff multiple times, and I've had Jeff on shows. But don't give me the – you paint this picture, and then you throw in the team picked to finish last in the Big 12. Well, okay, Kentucky was a preseason top 5 team, so let's give Kansas State some credit here too. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, why are we throwing that narrative out there? That's not fair to anyone. That's not fair to K-State. It's not fair to Kentucky. It's not fair to John Calipari. And then how about we do Tony Bennett? How about we do Matt Painter's run? Like, I saw a birthday thing go out on Twitter, and it's like, which coach do you get in your birthday month, and how far are you going in the tournament? And I said, well, I'm either losing to a 13 twice or I'm losing to a 16 seed. So my birthday month's not doing me any favors with my head coach. So come on now. Like, there's narratives that you can push, and then there's narratives that make no sense. And that's one that I thought was just total garbage.
Yeah, I completely agree. Unfortunately, now here we are. It's time to just, you know, the actual sit-down meetings have not even happened yet. John Calipari,
I can't hear you at all.
Will happen next Wednesday. You can't hear me at all? Nothing?
So
nothing?
I guess everybody's listening to me now, and I have no idea what I'm going to say. I just went on this national narrative is trash thing. Let's see if you can get your audio back, because I do want to hear what you have to say about this. So I don't know what issues we're having here. I'm seeing the same YouTube comment on the screen for the last 5-10 minutes.
How about now?
So I'm trying to see what we can do here. Hopefully, I don't even know.
Can you hear me now?
Okay. They can hear you, but I can't hear
you. Well, if you can hear me both. Well, I'll take over and you see if you can change your audio settings, and we'll just go from here. I'll take it from here. All right. As of right now, Oscar Tshiebwe, Jacob Toppin, Cason Wallace, Savory Wheeler, those are the guarantees. I know there's a lot of talk about Oscar Tshiebwe. You know, he can make a bunch of money if he decides to come back, and he made a ton of money this year. That's obviously the narrative, and until he officially says that it's time to go, I guess you could technically say that it's a possibility. But I have been told that Kentucky has been told on their end that it's probably not even worth their time to explore that, and it's probably best for both sides to say, it's a fresh start for both. We can let him begin as a professional basketball player and move forward and get his own fresh start, while Kentucky can turn its attention to recruiting Ugo back and getting Aaron Bradshaw in and seeing what happens with Damian Collins, Lance Ware. There's a lot of opportunities with other guys that I think they are deserving. And I think it's just, you know, it's just time. Oscar's career has run its course, and he's done so many magnificent things in Lexington, and he's deserving of all the praise in the world. I think for my money, he's deserving of having his jersey hung in the rafters someday at some point. But I do think that both sides have decided that at the end of the day, it will be time for Oscar to take his next step. Jacob Toppin, I think, the same thing. He's done a lot in his 4 years, been 2 different stops, 3 in Lexington. And I think him personally, it's going to be time for him to take the next step. He wants to figure out who he is as a basketball player and as a pro. And The ongoing expectation is that he goes, and the same goes with Cason Wallace and Xavier Wheeler. Xavier for transfer reasons and Cason for pro reasons. Sean, what are you thinking of those four? Cason, Xavier, Jacob, and Oscar being Kentucky's pretty certain goes.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. I think that that's what I expected mostly to happen with that group. With Oscar, you've got 2 years of just unreal numbers, but you get to a point where it's kind of time for everybody to move on and do what they're going to do. And then Cason, we know the NBA potential there. And then Jacob, what he's done for the program over the course of the last three seasons. And then Xavier, kind of how it just unfolded this season. It just kind of feels like it's time for a changing of the guard, I would say. And I think what's happening is that portal year where Kentucky had to go portal because they missed on everybody in recruiting that they had kind of went all in on. And I think that that's what this last couple of years was. It was the surviving the beginning of the transfer portal and kind of bridging the gap to where you get back to the top high school players in the country. And that's what Kentucky's bringing in. And now you got to deal with college basketball being older for a couple more years because you still have some guys that can take advantage of the COVID year that they were awarded. So you could see some really old college basketball players for the next couple of years if they choose to come back and take advantage of that. So college basketball is going to be, at one point it was dominated by freshmen, right? It was one and done, maybe 2 year players. Well, now you're seeing older guys. And I think you're going to see that kind of carry through for at least maybe one, two more seasons before it kind of levels back out and you see a lot of freshmen coming in and making plays early on some blue blood programs. But Kentucky's going to get back to their youth next year, and then we'll see exactly who joins that. And if Kentucky hits the portal, I think they need to at some spots, and we can get into that. Can you hear me okay? Because I don't know what that issue was a moment ago.
Yeah. Can you hear me? We good?
Yeah, I got you.
Cool. Yeah, so it's time. I appreciate everything that Oscar brought to the table, and Kentucky obviously did too. And I was told that Kentucky did just reach out to Oscar and say, you know, hey, what's the deal? Talking to Oscar's people and the people close to him and said, is it even a possibility? And I think they didn't want to rule it out and say never, and they're saying all the right things still. But it was made clear on both sides, Kentucky saying, yeah, it's probably for the best, and Oscar returning that and saying, yeah, it's probably for the best. I would be absolutely shocked if any of those four come back. And I was told Xavier is expected to hit the portal, and if he does, when he does, I was told that Kansas State is a team to keep a close eye on. His former assistant at Texas A&M when he committed to Texas A&M out of high school is now the lead assistant at Kansas State, so that could kind of come full circle as we're sitting here talking about the loss to Kansas State and Marquise Noel and what he did to Kentucky. Could be another 5'8" point guard taking his talents to Kansas State as well, so keep a close eye on that one. Texas A&M will be interested. I think a lot of Big 12 schools, it makes sense fit-wise. He's from Texas, so it makes a lot of sense for him in that direction. But I was told that there is a lot of interest in Xavier. I think the general perception of Xavier nationally is that he just wasn't used properly in Lexington. Yep. And that he does a lot of really good things that other schools think they could take advantage of a little bit better than Kentucky was able to down the stretch. And so I think it's going to be a good thing for both sides. We're obviously going to be a clean house at the guard position for the Cats, and Xavier is going to be able to find his new opportunity elsewhere. And I'm looking forward to seeing where that takes him, but it will very likely not be absolutely certainly not be in Lexington. The up in the air category is the most fascinating one. Chris Livingston, Antonio Reeves, CJ Frederick, and Damian Collins. I kind of did in my little rundown of them, all four of them in there, and I'd probably put Ugonna Onyenso in that category as well. For various reasons that we'll get to here shortly. But Sean, I want to get your thoughts on Chris Livingston. What his situation is complicated because I think he is the only player on the Kentucky roster that I wouldn't be shocked if any of the three decisions that he decides to go. He could either go pro, he could hit the transfer portal or he could come back. And I truly think it's a 33-33-33 split between all three options. I think he's very seriously considering all three paths for various reasons. What are you expecting from the process, Chris?
I think the one that I would dislike would be the portal, just because I do feel like that Cal committed to Chris for a large portion of the year, and then he broke through and started making some plays. And I would have loved to have seen Chris move forward in this tournament, because I thought that there was some stuff coming out there against Kansas State that he was really showing up and making some plays. And he had that one shot that didn't go down, but he had the putback dunk and stuff, and I thought he was really coming into his own. And I want to see him at Kentucky next year, because I think that there is potential for him to have a really significant breakthrough and be a stud on that roster, an older guy, another offseason to work on his frame and work on that jumper. He's got some things with his jump shot that has to be fixed mechanics-wise, especially this offseason. The guide hand gets way too far in front of the basketball. You can watch it. That's why the shot came out there that he had from the corner, is because that hand, that rotation, that spin this way, he's not getting bounces on that. I watched him during practice the other day. I have no idea what I expect. Like, I'm with you, that I could see any of those three playing out. The one that I think makes the most sense for him, though, is a sophomore season at Kentucky. Given the way this one ended, he did get better. He got significantly better, I thought, as the season went along. But there's got to be a thing here where you look at this roster and you see a Justin Edwards, or you see what Kentucky's doing. You had John Calipari throwing out the whole playing 2 7-footers together comment the other night, which I do not want to see. But I want to see Chris Livingston in a Kentucky jersey again next year, being a veteran piece for a group of freshmen coming in that has talent, but they need some experience and they need a guy that's gone through the battles and the war at Kentucky. I would love to see Chris leading the charge of that roster next year as one of the returning players. It just, there's so many dominoes that have to fall that go into this. And I just don't want to see it get to a point where Kentucky, you get a freshman who is in the elite end of high school basketball rankings, feel like they don't have a spot as a sophomore at Kentucky, and they transfer and go somewhere else and they choose not to go to the NBA. I think that's something that we kind of get in here where you see NBA decisions and you see other things. I don't know. I don't want to see that happen.
Yeah, I'm getting some feedback that my audio sucks on that, and I'm getting my new Wi-Fi installed literally this week, so this show can definitely kick rocks, and we'll adjust accordingly.
This is the perfect end to how the season ended, right? Like, this is the perfect ending to how it all ended. Just might as well just melt and just be terrible.
Yeah, so if this is an absolute disaster and we need to just do this again whenever my stuff gets installed the right way, it is what it is. But until then, I'll just talk, and whatever you get out of it, you get from it, and whatever you don't, it is what it is. Yeah, Chris, it's very complicated because Chris has a lot of people in his circle. Unfortunately, the clutch factor is a significant one. LeBron's agency obviously wanted him to be a one and done, and did not, the people around him did not think that his year was what they wanted it to be in terms of role, in terms of the types of touches he was getting and the ways he was put in position to score. They were not pleased with that. He was a guard in high school in their eyes, and he goes to college and becomes a small ball four, and basically his scoring is held exclusively to, you know, putback, you know, crashing the boards and scoring on putbacks and things like that. So I think that was something that I think rubbed them the wrong way, and it's going to be something that they monitor and keep a very close eye on moving forward. They will put their name, Chris will put his name in the draft and test the waters and go from there to figure out what the feedback is. The clutch pool will be a significant one. If there's a team that offers a second round pick and says, you know, we'll take a chance on you and the money is right, I think that there's a chance that he decides to go pro. I do think that the conversations will be necessary on Kentucky's side to just kind of express how he'll be used, the type of role, things like that in Kentucky.
So you think the meeting, the end of season meeting, is probably the most important thing when it comes to this one, is how that conversation goes, and I guess how he envisions his future at Kentucky. And you could probably say the case for most of these guys that could be a portal or stay or go decision. It's kind of like what, because I think that there's more successful opportunities for Chris Livingston at Kentucky as a sophomore than there were as a freshman, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Not just given that he's a year older and better. I just think that the pieces and everything, I could see him kind of emerging and moving into that leadership role that's there, not kind of playing on the back burner. Like, I think that there's should be better spacing at times next year if they get the pieces that they want to return and what they got coming in. I think that the roster really fits what he could do, and I'd love to see him playing alongside Justin Edwards.
That would be the dream. And those two just – yeah, the versatility that they both have in different ways, I think they just complement each other extremely well. And I would like to see those two together. And it's not a done deal that he's leaving. And I do want to stress that. And I do think that if it came down to him personally, if this was a Chris decision only, I was told that it would 100% be Kentucky, that he would be very comfortable coming back. But there's just a lot of voices and a lot of different inputs that are going on that I think will make it a very complicated one. He's going to put his name in the draft and see how that goes, and that will be option number one. If he gets the feedback that he wants to hear, then I think it's going to be a pretty easy decision on his part, but I just don't know if he's there yet. I think that he still has a lot of his game to show off to even appear close to being a pro, and I think that's where I think it'll come down to the portal or a return to Kentucky. And I do know that there will be schools that are pushing hard for him. And I think Kansas, I think Memphis, I think Georgetown, some of the schools that pushed really, really hard for him in his original recruitment and would promise the world NIL-wise and role-wise and all that stuff. I mean, that's going to be something very difficult on his end, that it's just something to keep in mind. And we'll see. My gut as of right now is that we do not see Chris Livingston back in a Kentucky uniform.
And if that's the case, Kentucky has to go portal, in my opinion. I think so. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I know you got Justin there, but I still think that Kentucky would have to go to the portal.
Yeah. I guess it depends on what happens with Antonio Reeves, because Antonio Reeves is next on the list that we got to obviously address. His, I think, is much more cut and dry. I think his is going to be a little bit of an easier decision because his is going to come entirely down to money. Talking to people close to Antonio, they really like how this year went. They love the role. They love the opportunities. I mean, I don't know how you wouldn't like an ultimate green light at the University of Kentucky. It was the perfect opportunity for him. He made solid money this year. He hit the six-figure mark in terms of NIL, and I think that there is a very clear understanding on Kentucky's side that he's going to be making way more with NIL than he would on a just pure G League deal. So if he is going to test the waters, when he tests the waters, and if the feedback isn't over the moon, excited, you know, yeah, we kind of like you, but it is what it is. I genuinely think that money will be enough to have Antonio Reeves come back. But if all it takes is one team to say, we got a two-way contract for you, we have a roster spot available for you, it's yours. And I think that's all it would take for him to go. So I think it will just come down entirely to dollar figures.
Yeah, I think in the end, I have a gut feeling that Antonio Reeves will be on that Kentucky roster next year, just because I think it makes sense fit-wise, and I think that that's the guy that Kentucky would want back to go with that backcourt. And I could honestly see him probably sliding into that starting two role next year there and getting a lot of shots and a lot of opportunities and making that backcourt deeper than what it would be if he's not there. So I would be a huge fan of another season of Antonio Reeves, because I think Kentucky's got some dudes coming in that are going to take some shots and be willing to take shots. And I think that takes some of that pressure off of him that you saw at times this year where he had to step up and make shots on his own. Like, it got to a point late in the year, if he wasn't hitting threes, nobody was hitting threes. And you saw that. I mean, I know Kaysen knocked one down, and I know they had some other CJ Frederick hit one, and they had some guys that knocked down outside shots, but not consistently enough. And I think that that's the thing. Like, you bring him back here. I don't think that his season at Kentucky was probably what he envisioned it to be when he committed a year ago. I don't think that he thought that it would come down to the end of the year and he'd be with the ball in his hands and middle ball screen and doing some things like that and kind of being the one guard that could consistently make shots. I don't think that that's what he thought at any point. And I'm hopeful that he would return, because I think that there's a significant role and opportunity for him next year. And to be a veteran guard, to kind of go through the grind with these younger guys that are coming in. And anytime you can add a guy that put 37 up at Arkansas back to your roster, you certainly take that. And I think that it makes sense for both sides.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing, and I think it'd be great for DJ Wagner. I think it'd be great for Rob Dillingham as a vet piece in the locker room. Three ball dominant guards, and I do think that's something to keep in mind. I don't think that he would get as many on ball opportunities as he saw this past season, but I do think the catch and shoot stuff and everything that he was getting earlier on in the year and kind of at his peak, I think he'd get all of those back as well. So I do think the fit is there. I just think the money has to be right. He's 22 years old and his career clock is ticking, and he's going to have to make the best decision for him. And I think when it does come down to money, I think the money will be there for Kentucky, and I think it'll be a good match for both sides. I want to get your thoughts on CJ Frederick, because if you were to just take everything that you heard from him post-game after the loss, you'd say, yeah, he's hanging it up. There's no way that he comes back. But he's also like a psychopath in terms of just how much he is obsessed with basketball, and I do think that that's going to play a pretty significant part of it. That's not a dude that wants to hang it up on that and ending the way that it did. So that's a unique decision on his end, that he's going to go as his body tells him. But I also think a big part of it will be he's never had an off season of complete, you know, he's always been rehabbing something. He's always had an injury to recover from. This would be his first opportunity in a UK uniform where it'd be a clean slate. He gets his ribs already almost healed. And from here on out, all the way up until next season, be 100% training and development. I think that is an intriguing factor for him that he's definitely going to keep in mind.
I'm just not sure what his role would be next year, I think, is what I look at. I mean, obviously, it would be to make shots, but with what they have coming in, if you get Antonio Reeves back, I just don't know. And then you got Justin Edwards playing there and things. Like, I don't know what the lineup possibilities would be for him. But he's also a guy that they like having around the program, a veteran guy that I think would be big for the locker room. And if he comes back and is able to stay healthy and consistently knock down shots, and it would be great to add an option to your bench that can step in and hit shots consistently. But I just don't know. Like, there's so many moving pieces this offseason, and there's been some crazy off seasons. I mean, we've been to a point where we've watched seven guys sit at a table and all announce they're going to the NBA at one time. And that was when times were good in Lexington. But this offseason, to me, I could literally circle almost every guy on this roster and say I could see a scenario where they're not in Lexington next year, just about. And when it comes to transfers and it comes to guys coming back, if it's Lance Ware, if it's Damian Collins, it doesn't matter who it is. Like, you can kind of talk yourself into them being there, and you can talk yourself into them not being there, outside of, you know, Savir and some of these other guys that we kind of know where the writing's on the wall. But there is a lot of moving pieces, and I write that annual piece every year where I keep up with like a roster tracker of what's happening, and I expect that thing probably to go 6,000 words plus by the time we get into late April, because we just don't know who it's going to be, who emerges in the portal. You have teams that are going to lose tonight. You're going to have teams that are going to lose on Friday night and Saturday night, and what names go into the portal from those schools. And what head coaching changes and what jobs are taken. Like, there's a lot of moving pieces of this, but I feel like Kentucky's probably going to have the most attrition of anyone. But it also has a really solid class to kind of lean on coming in. Now it's about who joins that. And that's what's going to be the biggest story over the next 6 to 7 weeks.
And I guess the one thing that could completely tank all of it and really impact just what Kentucky's recruiting efforts are going to be in the portal, and just the their next steps are what Damian Collins and Ugonna Onyenso do. I know Ugo had the quote in the locker room after the game. He said, "I'm coming back. I'm excited to replace Oscar and Jacob. I know the program's going to need me, blah, blah, blah." Like, he said all the right things. And if you recall, Sean, we've heard Michael Kidd-Gilchrist in that same locker room say after a big win, I'm gonna stay all 4 years. I'm so excited. I'm thrilled at the possibility of being in Kentucky. And Archie Goodwin, after their loss in the NIT, he said, "Hell no, I'm not leaving on this note." He ended up leaving very shortly afterward because emotions are what they are in the locker room, and you just can't rely on a spur-of-the-moment decision after an emotional loss or an emotional win, one way or the other. Ugo is a completely different animal. His situation is a lot different, and other factors will be at play with Ugo. And unfortunately, not a lot of them will be based on what he wants. If it were up to him, Ugo would be back next season.
He'd be Kentucky.
And it's a really crappy thing that happens in the world of college basketball, but it is what it is. And it's something that you just need to face head on and embrace and say that this is the reality of East Kentucky. You will not just let somebody else pry him away and say, "Have a nice day, we'll replace you," because Kentucky loves him. And as you've heard John Calipari say a million times, they want Ugo back. They really want Ugo back. So it's going to be a dogfight. But there are other pushes and pulls going on outside of what Ugo wants or what he's even saying publicly that will absolutely be needed to – we'll need to keep that in mind as we try to navigate whether he's going to be on the roster next season or not. That's why I lean probably yes. I think Kentucky's going to do what it takes to get him back, but he is closer to the toss-up range than he is closer to a lock to return.
Yeah, and how do you think that's why Cal threw out, "Oh, I'm going to play 2 7-footers together next year"? I don't know. I'm sure that just trying to throw anything out there and kind of throw something, hope it sticks, or throw a bone there. And I hope he's at Kentucky, because I thought that his presence in the locker room the other day in a very emotional moment, I thought it was really mature, the things that he said and the way that he carried himself and the video that you got of him with Oscar walking over and talking to him. I thought that was super cool to see. And you're right. Like, if this were down to just him, he'd be in that same Kentucky jersey in a few months playing this summer and going into next season. But we know that there's two things that are just messier than anything can be messy. And it's recruiting. Whether it be college basketball, college football, it's messy. But the attrition in the offseason in Lexington might be messier, because you just never know what in the world is going to happen. And now you move into a period of NIL and things like that, that it just gets even more messier, that you have no idea what these guys are going to do. You have no idea who's going to be on your roster in 6 weeks. So I just kind of look at it, and I hope that he's back. And I hope that that's something that by the time we get into mid-April, late April, we know for sure what's going to happen. But I have no idea exactly what's going to be the decision there. But Kentucky certainly could use him. And I think there's a lot of potential there with his defensive ability and things that there was there's some questions on Twitter the other night about who would make the biggest impact at Kentucky a year from now. And I chose Ugonna just because of his defensive ability and the plays that he can make there and how he can affect the game. And I think that there's a significant role for him next year if he does indeed come back.
Yeah. I heard like maybe 4 of those words. So I hope that the listeners could at least hear that. I don't know.
We're going to have to do this again. We're going to have to do this again is what's going to have to happen. Like,
and it's just stupid because you're crystal clear half the time, and then the other half you sound like a robot trying to order a McFlurry. And I really have no idea, and it's really pissing me off.
And the McDonald's ice cream machine's broken. That's what's wrong.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, robot ice cream machine broke. Whatever. So I'm going to go back and listen to this afterward, and if we both sound absolutely stupid, then we'll do this over again and figure out a different path, but it is what it is. I'm literally on data at this point, so it's not even like my Wi-Fi is bad.
I'm on my hotspot because I thought it was my Wi-Fi, but I don't think it is. I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I got nothing. I don't know. Well, we'll salvage what we have left of this. Damian Collins, he's the one crapshoot on this roster that I would not be shocked.
I have no idea what's going on. Jack, somebody said you need to hook up to somebody else's Wi-Fi, Jack. I have no idea what's going on. Steven, if you get him back in here at any point, but I'll try to carry this on the best I can until I see Jack's face on here again. And like he said, if this is a mess, and I don't know, I'm trying to read the comments here. I see people saying that we sound fine and everything else, but this is completely off the rails. Jack, there's no head bobbing comments tonight. It's just telling me to take over because I have no idea what's going on. You've been on the left of my screen. You've been on the right of my screen. You've disappeared from my screen. Are you hitting the transfer portal, or are you staying, or are you leaving this time? I don't know. It sounds like your decision is probably the most important here, not somebody else's.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I'm whatever Wi-Fi service this is, I'm hitting the transfer portal with this and getting the hell out of here. And I'm a free agent. If anybody wants my internet to be my internet provider, by all means, please reach out. You know where to find me. As I was saying before, I was so rudely interrupted. Damian has, I think, the toughest decision of everybody on the team, because his has nothing to do with basketball. I was told that if his decision came down to pure basketball, I can't get over the comments. they're just sitting here cyberbullying me as they know I'm.
Somebody said you have dial-up internet.
Yeah, I'm gonna punch a hole through the wall and really make this an entertaining show. Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, Damian. It's unfortunate because his decision has nothing to do with basketball. I was told that if this were a basketball decision, he'd be back and wouldn't even think twice about it. He is loving his time in Lexington, and it's everything that he has wanted it to be. He's developing the way that he's wanted to, and he's still confident that a breakthrough is coming on his end. But obviously, it has nothing to do with basketball. He has a family decision to make, and it's family over anything with Damian. So, I'm not going to pry on that one. I'm not going to be calling up family members and DMing and messaging. I don't think that anybody should. Like, Damian is going to make a decision whenever he's ready to. And I'm really looking forward to it one way or the other. But on Kentucky's side, I think they have said that they're going to be patient with it, and they would understand and be in full, complete support of him either way. If he decides that he needs to go home and spend time with family and transfer to SMU or Houston or a Baylor or a Texas Tech or something like that, I think nobody would blame him, and I think everybody would be in complete support of him. And that's where he needs to be right now, mentally at least, knowing that he has support on both sides. Just what I know in my conversations with his dad, Ben, before he passed, he told me that he wanted his son to play out the process of Kentucky, and didn't matter if it took 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year, he wanted him to live out this process to the fullest extent. And if he makes a commitment to something, follow through on that commitment. So that's something to keep in mind as well, that he could just want to go with what his dad's wish was. So I have no idea, based on outside of just conversations I've had with Kentucky about their thoughts, but I'm definitely gonna leave that one be.
Yeah, I have no idea what Damian's mindset is right now and where he is in his own head and what he wants to do. Like, I have no clue. And I just hope that whatever Damian decides, if that's at Kentucky, I hope that he's able to have a successful offseason and get some weight on his frame, because I know what he went through there from November till now was not easy, and it really set him back. And if he chooses to go back home and play somewhere, I would think that every member of BBN would probably be one of the most supportive groups of fans for him elsewhere, because at this point, I just want what's best for Damian Collins. And if that's helping Kentucky, it's helping Kentucky. If it's helping someone else, the biggest thing is he has to help himself. He has to do whatever he feels is best for him mentally, and not just mentally at this point, but physically too, to get himself into a frame of mind and where he wants to be and around a support group. But he's got a good support group in Lexington. But here's the other side of this: the interchanging of teammates. You lose That's people true. You've been close with for a couple of years, and yeah, you get new faces coming in, but it's difficult. Like, you've already lost a lot, and you see that kind of changing of the guard coming, your entire roster leaves, then the people that you've been with for 2 years, it's your life's already changing enough when it comes to the people around you. These comments are hilarious, by the way. Like, they're coming in. Somebody told me to go to Starbucks. Somebody said to go to Starbucks. It worked out much better when we were in person. If we were at Madison Square Garden right now, we wouldn't be having these issues.
Yeah, I'm Matt Jones. Jack is on AOL mail disk. Jack, go to Starbucks. Look, I have AT&T fiber. Literally, I got a message this morning that it's being installed this week.
No, it's being installed right now. Or something's happening.
I don't know if they're installing it. No, like, seriously. I'm halfway concerned that they knocked out like the cell tower nearby or something, because I've been using data on most of these shows because the Wi-Fi has been absolute just downright ass. So I don't know what's happened with this show in particular that makes you sound like a robot and me buffering every four words. I don't get
the thing that I've been getting is that I sound fine. But I switched to my hotspot thinking that it was me, but I've been perfectly fine this entire time, so I don't know what's going on. But I'm glad you're here, because I thought for a moment, I was like, I'm going to have to carry this all by myself, and there were no comments popping up. That was frozen, so I had no idea. I was like, I guess I'm just going to talk everything that I want to say. Like, this is my platform to say whatever at this moment, and that could be good, that could be bad. This is my show. This is Source Say now. It's not Sources. It's Source. But you're still here, and while it's good, let's talk about whatever.
Now it's completely
clear. Well, don't jinx it. It's don't jinx it.
Clear, and I'm hearing every single one of your words, and this is beautiful. And I don't know. I will say, I think the decisions of Damian Collins and Ugo, you got to get one of them back. I think you cannot afford this point. Yeah. Because there's no other 2023s out there. There's no other 24s that I trust to be the immediate impacts that you would need Ugo or Damian to be next year. Ideally, you get both back, but you can't lose both. You don't have to miss them. You don't have to make them all. You just can't miss them all. And that's my mindset with Damian and Ugo.
Yeah, that's... That was a good one. We've had some good ones here. You hit the transfer portal a couple of times, and then you had a change of heart and decided to come back. And now you're thrown out. You can't miss them all. You can't. You got to have makers. And I don't know. I was proud of you on Sunday. I thought you handled that well. Because last year, me and you, neither one handled St. Peter's very well. But I felt like the other day we were composed and we were ready to record and talk about this. And you all had better quality driving in a car on the way back from North Carolina than we've had sitting in our own homes. So maybe we should just take this show mobile and just drive around and do it for now on. Maybe I should just come up to where you live and we just get on the interstate and just drive and just record this thing. Maybe we'll have better Wi-Fi. But I do want to get your thoughts. I mean, we've talked a lot of roster stuff. Let's talk about what happened Monday on John Calipari's radio show, where Cal's like, I can't say anything about what's going to happen, but we're working on some things and playing in some stuff this summer. And then Chin comes on and just blurts it out And I felt like that showed the most disconnect of where things possibly are when it comes to putting things out, that you go from can't say anything to here it is. I'm going to give it all to you. And I don't know if that's how you feel or not, but I'm sure John Calipari was not a very happy camper Monday night around 7:30 when he got word that that was just thrown out there. But Kentucky's going to be playing this summer, and I feel like this team was I had just made this comment to somebody that I actually hated that the current team had the Bahamas trip because they had a lot of guys coming back. As many new faces of what we're going to see and the freshmen coming in, I think this trip is going to be beneficial because that's the teams that need it most, in my opinion.
And Baylor did it last year, and they got their butts whooped. Like, they Baylor, who ended up being a 3 seed, they went down there and up there to Canada, and they played real U23 competition, and it was that's what that team needed. And this Kentucky team will go to that event and lose games. I'm just going to put that out there right now. They will lose games. And Kentucky fans are going to throw a fit and go, well, fire Cal, this team's trash. Or, oh, so you build up all this hype about these damn freshmen, and here we go. They can't even beat a U23 Canada team. How dare that? Yeah, all that stuff's going to be out there. But I'm letting you know, it's very, very good competition. Kentucky will lose those games, and they will be better because of it. Because it's five freshmen, because it's Damian Collins, it's going to be guy, depending on what happens, it's going to be guys that need those opportunities, those early reps. And I'm a huge, huge fan of this event in particular. It's going to be a great opportunity. It's right around the corner. It's first week of July. So there ain't no
July in Toronto.
Yeah. I mean, there's no turnaround. Like it is now.
Maybe we can get Drake to join Sources Say while we're up there.
Oh, that's 40 chess there. It's all of we'll those recruiting.
Yeah. When we do that, though, we got to make sure that our connection is very good.
No, we're doing that one. I'm never trusting the internet again. This is why the internet, you can never rely on the internet. Newspaper.
You bring up the under 23 or whatever. If Oscar Tshiebwe came back, he is 23 years old. So, like, if you're not 23, like, if you're one of these older players in college basketball, can you participate in this event?
What about CJ Frederick? He'll be close.
Or is like, he just 22? Can you participate? I have no idea. Like, this is a discussion that I never thought we'd ever have at Kentucky ever again. If you're too old to play, but that's a question that it popped into my head earlier. I was like, can you play if you're not 23, or if you are? Because, I mean, it's...
Holy crap. CJ Frederick is 23 years old, and his birthday is July 10th.
Barely.
What if,
just barely.
What if the championship game is on July 11th, and he can play all the way up to, like, through the semifinals, can get up to the title game, but the day he turns 24, they say, hell no, USA
what
rules.
If...
Get out of here.
What if you're not a U.S. citizen? Can you play? Can you represent Team USA? Is it Kentucky representing? Like, is that how this works? Like, technically, we're not going to be saying Kentucky defeated so-and-so. We're going to say Team USA defeated so-and-so or Team USA lost. We're literally going to have to refer to this group as Team USA. Like, that's the loophole of being able to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I looked up the Baylor roster, and they have a couple of foreign players that some were injured during this event. So I couldn't get like an actual final answer on that, but I'm pretty certain that they are allowed to play in this event because it's not Team USA. It's like representing USA. Like they're representing American college basketball, I think. So I don't know. And I mean, well, depending on what happens with Ugo and depending on what happens with Oscar leaving and Ugo kind of being a crapshoot, you might not even have that question really, Sean.
Yeah.
Because I think those are the only two, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So I'm more impressed, though, that at one point I looked down, I'm pretty sure we had 514 people in here. So, like, Talk
well,
about
I'm
a
sorry
show, right?
They got the absolute worst show of all time in terms they, of.
We got a lot of people asking us. We got a lot of people asking us in the comments why we're saying anything about Uganda not coming back. And why that's there, because, you know, of his comments the other day. So maybe when you were talking about that earlier, you might have been going in and out. I don't know. So if you want to while we're here.
Cole says, Jack, get a podcast mic for your setup, bro. And I have another one in my actual backpack that the audio just, for whatever reason, hasn't been super clear on that one either.
People,
so that's why I tried this one.
People have no idea what we go through every time we try to record. Like, we say it's 5 o'clock and then it's 5:15. But back when it was just me and you, we didn't have anybody producing this thing. It was like, hold the wire just right so it doesn't cut out. I can remember those days.
Yeah, this is stressing me out. So I guess I went out for the Ugo part. Is that what the comment said?
I don't know if you went out, but there's people that are asking why we're even talking about it, because he's already said he's coming back. But
no.
I know you put that in your notes and stuff yesterday.
No. Ignore it. Again, I don't know if you missed this part. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist once said that he was coming back to Kentucky for 4 years after an emotional postseason win. Archie Goodwin said that he was coming back after the Robert Morris loss.
Rick Pitino wasn't leaving.
Rick Pitino wasn't leaving. Although Ugo was different, as I don't know. Did you hear at all my spiel about being outside of his control?
Mm-hmm. I heard that, but I think some other people probably maybe came in late or something and didn't, or the audio connections, because it did come out, you know, in the story with Ben Roberts and the Herald Leader. He was talking about coming back, and obviously his comments in that moment were coming back, but we just kind of, you got to take it like a grain of salt at Kentucky. You never know. That locker room is what it is. Things can change in a week. Things can change in 2 weeks. And, you obviously wrote that yesterday on KSR, and I think you put that in your kind of your breakdown and stuff of where things were leading up to the offseason, and it's not a for sure thing. I know I think you wrote that it's not a one, I don't think it's like a not a 0% chance that he doesn't leave or something like that. So I hope he's at Kentucky next year, because I think his impact defensively would be significant on this roster.
Yeah, and the issue is it doesn't have anything to do with Ugo. It's about the people that got him to America from Africa, and the, you know, promises that were made, and you know, expectations of what it was when we have this platform, I just go back to during his recruitment. They were very touchy about throwing around the word red shirt. Like, UK's expectation when they started recruiting him was, hey, let's get you to reclass up a year and sit out this year, work alongside Oscar Tshiebwe, and come back next year and be a superstar. Like, you're already the best defensive player in high school basketball. Work under Oscar Tshiebwe, learn how to, you know, finish through physicality and strength and all those things. And then come back and be a college basketball superstar, as John Calipari continues to stress over and over again. And I think that is something to keep an eye on. John Calipari has this entire time kind of been throwing those little lobs here and there during every, you know, media session. I think Ugo's going to be the best center in college basketball. I think we can play 2 7-footers together, kind of how he's going to be used, and kind of laying the foundation of his recruitment of Ugo back. It just sucks that we even have to have a recruitment of Ugo back, because, yes, use his quotes after the game as proof that he wants to come back, and then understand that it's just a little bit more complicated. And if it goes Kentucky's way, he will be back. If it goes Ugo's way, he will be back. If it goes anybody else associated with Ugo, I've heard the Big East is very interested. I'll just say that.
Yeah. Where will
Several
you
schools.
Go, Ugo? Where will you go, Ugo?
Several schools in the Big East will and already have sent out feelers and have made it very clear that he's wanted at their respective schools. Just being totally, totally transparent on the show. Now that you guys – maybe about time there's some transparency, because I've been fuzzy and having mental breakdowns throughout this entire thing anyway. So about time there's some damn transparency. 58 minutes and 40 seconds in.
Yeah, this – this one's going to go into the all-timers for sure. Like, this is the perfect wrap up. Yeah. Like, we, people don't know what we go through trying to find spots to record and then how long it takes us to really get going. So when we say 5 o'clock, we're probably saying 5:10 or 5:15. So if you're 5:08 and you're rushing, probably didn't miss a thing. Just jump in when you can and just hang on. But we have been gaining viewers this entire time. So whatever's happening, it's obviously worked out for us. And yeah, hopefully somebody, hopefully somebody gets something out of this, because I do think that we've given some good info and some good intel, and especially from your side and things. And it's an unfortunate ending to the season. I'd love to be in New York City tonight, getting ready to cover Kentucky and Michigan State in a rematch battle, but we're sitting at home and talking about next year and McDonald's game coming up. So I'm sure we'll talk some stuff with that and things. Because I know we've had people wanting us to break down their games. I think it would be better if we watch that game next week and then come together and collab and kind of talk about where they were and where they are and things like that. And then obviously each time there's a decision made on this roster, Jack, I just be like last year, we're going to hop on here and we're going to talk each time something happens, because each domino that falls impacts that. We're going to have coaching staff decisions. We're going to have all that. Like, we know there's going to be moves made because clearly there is an opening on this staff now that KT Turner has officially been announced at UT Arlington. So there's a lot of moving parts with this that there's going to be no lack of content between now and probably the end of May.
Well, since you so eloquently laid it up for me, I will at least tell you what I know about KT's replacement. I have talked to,
it's me.
I don't know.
I'm kidding.
I don't know if I should say that. Well, I mean, if you just look at my Twitter picture, I mean, I did talk to KT at the game and just, you know, congratulate him on, you know, on him leaving. And just putting it out there, I have heard from individuals that Josh Pastner is interested, that he has reached out to Kentucky and he is very hungry for this job. I was told that he was kind of taken aback a little bit by getting fired at Georgia Tech, and it was not a situation that he was expected to be let go from, even though the track record wasn't the best. So I just think it was time for a fresh start on their end. Josh Pastner, since then, after, you know, kind of hitting reset for himself, reached out to Kentucky, and John Calipari made it very clear that he wants to be in Lexington. John Calipari is not going to be making any hires immediately. He said on the show that an official replacement will be made after the Final Four. So after next weekend, we'll get at least some more clarity. But I'm very confident in saying that that Josh Pastner is a very realistic possibility to replace KT Turner. And I will add that Derek Kellogg, who used to play for Cal back at UMass and has been an assistant forever and has been a head coach at various spots, that's also one to keep a very close eye on as well. I think both will end up on staff if you were to ask me today. I would not be shocked if Bruiser Flint takes a head coaching job. I've told that he wants to get back into coaching and take whatever opportunity he can get. You know, he's been out of the head coaching game for a minute now, and it's tough to go from being in special assistant to the head coach like he is in Lexington to taking a big jump to being a head coach again at the D1 level. So that's definitely one to keep an eye on. He interviewed at Manhattan. I was told that he's probably not going to be the choice there. Temple reached out. They were interested, but it hasn't really gained much traction since then. But those are two schools that have reached out, have been in contact. So I don't know if it's going to be one of those two. Probably not, if I had to guess, but I do think that the conversations are starting, and I do expect him to return to the coaching ranks in some form or fashion. And I think that's where you get Derek Kellogg potentially sliding into his role. And you get five new assistants. The NCAA changed the rule, Sean. You get five.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Assistants on staff. Only three can be on the road recruiting, but you have five full-time assistants that you can use at your disposal. So you can get flexible, and I'd like to see Cal get flexible. Do not get content. Don't just go hire your buddies because you're able to. Go get a badass recruiter. Go get a bench coach. Go get a developer and get some versatility on the staff, because being totally honest and transparent, it's missing right now.
Well, to me, when it comes to your makeup of your staff, and at one point it wasn't like this at Kentucky. When he first got to Kentucky, you had a young Orlando Antigua, you had a Kenny Payne, these guys that hadn't been head coaches yet. They had been just what? Assistant coaches. Mm-hmm. And was talking to somebody recently about this, and this is coming from a coaching perspective. I was actually talking to a coach yesterday about this aspect of it, that when you're an assistant coach that's not been a head coach, you grind and you work and you do all these things because you have aspirations and hopes of what? Becoming a head coach.
Yeah, head coach.
And as the longer the John Calipari era has gone on, the assistant coaches have been coaches that didn't make it as head coaches. Like, you're getting to that point now. Orlando had his stint. He's back as an assistant. If you bring in Pastner, had his stint as a head coach, back in as an assistant coach. I think that there's just – I would love to see a guy on this staff that will come in here and work his tail off because he wants to – a Jay Lucas, climb the ladder. And mm-hmm. kind of move up. I want to see some young legs that wants and has hopes of being a head coach. But I think it's important to have guys around you that are seasoned and done things and maybe now at a different point in their career. But I also think it's important to not just go comfort in guys you know. Step out and get a young guy who wants to come in here and take advantage of the Kentucky effect and the platform and grind and grind and grind, recruit, do things for your program and excel and take off into a coaching role as a head coach at some point. And I think that was the appeal at one point of having Jay Lucas on staff. Mm-hmm. And Joel was the same way. Joel was the young guy at one point that wanted to eventually become a head coach. I think that's important to have in a mix of what you have already.
You need one bench coach, one X's and O's guru, and you need an ace recruiter. You need a personal guy, a guy who's the connecting piece between the staff and the player. You need a dude that is an offensive guru and an X's and O's guru, and then you need an ace recruiter. You don't need three ace recruiters because Cal is an ace recruiter. You need to understand that Cal is the closer. You don't need three closers on the team. You already have one in the best in Cal. You have one in Orlando, at his best. You don't need to just focus on recruiting. There needs to be a greater emphasis on scouting. There needs to be a greater emphasis on work ethic and focusing, as you said, on being hungry and wanting to climb the ladder and not settling. And I think that there's been a little bit too much settling inside of the locker room at this point. And I do think that there will be a time to address that this offseason. I think it's going to be soon. There's way too much content behavior right now.
And I don't want any of those assistants to come across this and listen to me think that I'm calling them a failure or something, or that they're not working hard. I just think that – I guess my hope would be whoever comes back – like, it's Pastner. Pastner's been a head coach. He's had some success. He beat Kentucky – just a few years ago. Me and you were the only two people in the building for that. But when you look at it, I would think that Pastner would be making this move if he ends up at Kentucky with the hopes of that he gets his career going back in the direction and kind of springboards himself back into another opportunity as a head coach. But that fire of doing something when you've done it and you've got – it's a demotion, right? You're an assistant coach. It's hard to go from being a head coach back to an assistant coach. I was an assistant coach when I first started my career for 2 years, and then I've been a head coach the last 10. It's a hard transition to think about being an assistant coach again. But I think that even at that level, it's even harder to kind of get your mindset right. But if your mindset is to attack it and to better yourself and better your positioning, and you grind the same way that you did when you were young and you felt like it, I think that that's a big step in doing the job and doing it the right way. And I'm not saying Kentucky's guys aren't. I just think a young piece on the staff in some role who doesn't care if it's midnight and he's up working and doing whatever it takes to make the Kentucky basketball program better, when you get that in there and you get that blood, I think it's contagious. And at one point, that was Cal. Cal was the guy that lost sleep and was doing it. And I still think he obviously loses sleep because I'm sure he's stressed when it comes to things that they do. But I want that overall grind back on Kentucky's coaching staff. And if Pastner's that guy, then I hope that that's what it, I hope that that's the way it works out. But does that make any sense where I'm coming from? It's like I'm 33. And if you put me on that, if you're 30, I'm 33. And if you put me on that staff right now, I would not sleep. I would be like, what do I have to do to get this right? What do I have to do to make this better? What do I have to do to make sure that we don't lose in the first round next year? Like, who do I got to call? What do I got to do? Like, that's the mentality that I hope somebody takes. And I hope that that's the overall thing, because it's what's happened the last 3 or 4 years in Kentucky. It's not acceptable. And I don't want this to be how this era is remembered. Whenever Cal's time at Kentucky is done, I don't want to just remember the first 6 years. Or just be like, oh, man, that was really good when it was right. Because I made this comment to you in Greensboro, and I don't think I've said it. Maybe I said it on this podcast, that when Cal got to Kentucky, I know I'm rambling, and we'll wrap up. He said, when we're doing this thing right, we're playing in Final Fours and we're winning national championships. So are we saying that we were only doing this thing right the first 5 years?
Right.
And I just think that that's, if that was your mindset at one point, then that was the pedestal and the precedent that you set as the head coach here. And I want to see them get back to doing that. And I think that they can. I think that they really can. And I think that Cal wants to. And I would love to see a final push from John Calipari get back to the glory days of getting to Final Fours and putting Kentucky on the mountaintop of college basketball again. And at Kentucky, it's possible. I think that it can happen. Some things have to go in their favor. They have a really good class coming in. You need some guys coming back. You hit the portal for a guy, maybe two, depending on what happens. Get your assistant coaches right and come back ready to attack this thing, because next season is just a couple of weeks away.
Yeah, I appreciate the fact that Josh Pastner reached out to Kentucky and has shown that hunger, because as you said, it'd be really easy for him to go, man, I'm not going to, I'd take a lower end head coaching job before I get back to being an assistant. There's a vulnerability with that. There's some accountability with that, where you look at yourself in the mirror and go, I've had 14 years as a head coach at Memphis and at Georgia Tech. It has not gone swimmingly. I am elite at some things, and I want to get back to showing how elite I am at those things and let somebody else give me a shot. And I think that's where Josh Pastner, if he's young enough to where he still connects with recruits, he's young enough to where he does have a drive to get to that next level and return to the coaching ranks as a head coach. I think it makes a lot of sense to add him to the staff, and I do hope that Cal sees that hunger as a sign of positivity. I love the idea of that, and I do think that. And a couple of people asked about Rajon Rondo back when I brought that up and reported that two, three months ago, however long it's been. The plan still is for Rondo to join the staff as a student assistant. He is still in very recent communication with John Calipari, a conversation that he initiated. And is very intrigued by. I think my only concern with that is an NBA team swooping in and stealing him in August, you know, leading up to the NBA season, whenever NBA training camp starts. That is my only. And shoot, if you can get a month out of Rondo in the Joe Craft Center as a full-time assistant, you know, full-time student assistant, where he's working with DJ Wagner and Rob Dillingham for a month, I'm taking it. I don't care. I talked to Tyler Ulis actually himself, and he said that the plan is for him to return next season as well. So if you can buy the grace of God get both of those two in that locker room together alongside a Josh Pastner. And, you know, if you bring in Derek Kellogg, whatever, if you get some new faces and, you know, light that spark on the coaching staff again, I think we could be working with something there, and that's a best case scenario. So fingers crossed on Rondo. All is still very well. He's on campus taking full-time classes and inching closer toward being on the staff as a, you have to be a full-time student to be on the staff as a student assistant. And he is trending in the right direction for that.
Yeah. And that would be big, but I'm with you. I could see Rondo being pulled away from someone else, especially when it comes to NBA. An NBA job or some role, given his voice and platform and stuff in the league there and how successful he was as a player. And but boy, that would be big for this program if you got him around next year along with Tyler Ulis. But we've gone on a lot. Hopefully we made up for if there were any poor connections and stuff. And Jack, it's
going to be an eventful
we have, and I'm hoping that I hope we don't get a phone call and say that I was just calling Kentucky staff not good, because that's not what I was trying to get at. I was trying to say that I just want some fire back. When I go by the Kraft Center, I want to feel
individuals. I just need the fire.
When I drop by the Kraft Center, I want to feel some heat, but I don't want it to be somebody's job. I want it to be the fact that there's fire there. There's passion, and I want to see some excitement. I want to be able to walk back in that building and be like, man, there's some swag here. There's some confidence about this program and where it's at heading into next season. Because right now, there should be, given the class coming in. And you're going to get to see them a lot sooner than what we expected. But I want to see what this roster looks like. My date that I give is always the last week of May. That's when I give my assessment of where Kentucky's at as a roster and then moving forward. That's the week. And maybe it's sooner than that at this point, but that's usually the safe bet because you got the NBA early entry, the deadlines and all that stuff passed. By then, we should know what not just Kentucky looks like, but what college basketball looks like. And then we can kind of start to give our viewpoints. My hope is this. I hope that this is a Kentucky team that goes into next year not ranked inside the top 10. I would love to see them one time put Kentucky somewhere like 14th, 15th, and kind of not let them start a year with the whole top five team on their back. Yeah. Is that going to happen? Probably not. They're probably going to be in the top five or top seven when it comes out. But I would love to see it be like a top 15 team and kind of not have that weight on their shoulders right away. But we'll see what happens. There's a long way. Armando Bacot comes back to college at North Carolina and comes back to school. Like there's – NIL has changed the game significantly.
Yep. Sure has. So this week is going to be a big one. Players are still wrapping up class. Some of them have already returned back home and are taking classes at home and online as they assess their futures, whether it be going pro, whether it be hitting the transfer portal or returning to Kentucky. But the official sit-down meetings will start with Cal next week. Cal gets back in town on Monday, and that's when he's going to kind of start gathering the individual players and start really assessing what this roster is going to look like. So of what you could hear on this show, this was just kind of a preview of what's to come. Basically, where things were trending as the regular season came to a close, as the postseason came to a close, and some of the early conversations among the staff and, people that would know where kind of things are trending or at least leaning as they approach a very, very big week for Kentucky. So we'll be back. I'm going to go back and re-listen to this and see just how much was cut out. And if we need to just like record one on our own, just audio or whatever we got to do, Sean, we'll do that probably tomorrow or something. But hopefully this was worthwhile and you guys had some fun making fun of me and my little mental breakdowns trying to juggle this stupid internet connection. But I think we finished strong and I appreciate everybody being patient with us. It does mean quite a bit to us that the numbers were what they are on the show. So I definitely appreciate that. One final message before we get out of here. The Source Say podcast is also brought to you by Andy Ludicky and MyPerfectFranchise.net, a franchise consulting company that helps others find franchises that will fit their needs, skill sets, investment requirements, and time commitment constraints. Andy is super nice, great to chat with, big college sports fan, by the way, and we are very excited to partner with him again this year. Andy is an experienced entrepreneur and has been helping others go through the same process that changed his life 10 plus years ago. If you're wanting to find a way out of corporate America or a way to diversify, please reach out to Andy, as he's got a ton of knowledge in this world. And best of all, his services are 100% free to you. As always, nothing ventured, nothing gained. You can learn more and contact Andy anytime at www.myperfectfranchise.net. Sean, of all the shows that we've ever done, this was certainly one of them, and I appreciate you being a part of it.
The only thing that I'd say right now is, God, I wish I had some New York pizza. Like, that's what I wish. I wish that I was on the wrong side of Madison Square Garden and you were searching for me like you were at 3:30 in the morning when Kentucky lost to Duke a couple years ago. But never again, right? You told me never again. No, you almost lost your co-host that night.
Yeah, I almost got stabbed by a homeless guy walking up to me on the street. That was a memory that I'm excited to never live ever again. But it is what it is. Sean, let's get out of here. Where can fans find your work?
You can find my work at GoBigBlueCountry.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at GBBCountry.
You can find me on Twitter as well, at JackPilgrimKSR. Reach out to me via email, JPilgrim@KentuckySportsRadio.com. With that, we'll be back next time with another non-blurry, non-internet connectivity issue-filled podcast. We will see you then.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.